We're in a series called Different, and actually we're wrapping it up today. And I don't know about you, but different is not one of those things that a lot of people aspire to be, because if you grow up, you learn really quickly that different doesn't bring about desired outcomes. It doesn't bring about something that you look forward to. In fact, you can get picked on as a kid because you're different. And a lot of times it's out of that place in our lives where we look and we say, man, you know what? Different's not a good thing. And that's not true. Different is a great thing. Different, if we all were the same, if we all acted the same, if we were all the same, this would be really a boring place. But then you got this other idea, and that is, as a Christ follower, God calls us to be different. And this comes out of this whole conversation where he's reminding us over and over again that this world that we live in is not our home. If you choose to be a Christ follower, then we need to be reminded this world that we live in is not our home. And because of that, you're going to be different. I said this last week, but it bears repeating. I think I said it the week before too. We're here on a work visa. We're here for a short period of time. We're here just to, we have an assignment. We're allowed to be here until God says he's done, and then we move on. And that's every single one of us that choose to follow Christ. So we're not like locked into this place. And I think a lot of times what happens is we really want to make this world a safer place. We want to make this world more comfortable. We want to make this world about our needs. And it becomes this thing where we almost are more attached to this world and have no desire for what comes in store. We end up loving this place more than loving where we came from. This book is a practical look at what makes us different as Christ followers. And that means one of the things that we've been talking about is, as a Christ follower, we learn quickly that our values are different than this world we live in. We learn that if you're a spouse, you're going to treat your spouse differently than other people do. You're going to invest your time differently. You're going to invest your money differently. You're going to spend your time differently. All of it because, as a Christ follower, there are different values that you have. There's different morals that you have. You have these different things where you are led to be and to do different things than what other people are led to do. You have different priorities. One of the first fill-ins on your handout, if you want to fill it in, you can, is this. Different isn't the goal. It just lets us know that we're going in the right direction. We're not different just for different sake. It's not like we're trying to stand out just so that we can stand out. Different lets us know that we're going in the right direction. The goal is relationship with Jesus. It's out of that relationship with Jesus that we have to look differently than the world we live in. So if we connect with the context again, if you haven't been with us, let me explain. Peter's writing this book, this letter, to some hurting, persecuted, fearful Christians. And they are in a place where there's an existing king in Rome where these Christians are at, and his name is Nero, and this guy is a crazy man. In fact, we know he killed his wife. They believe he killed his first wife. They also believe that he killed his mom. This guy was one who, he had this desire to build. And so in order to build, he burnt down Rome so that he could rebuild it again. And then it made a lot of people mad in Rome. And so what they do, they started attacking. He said, listen, you know who did it? It was those Christians. And he blamed what he did on the Christians, which brought more persecution to them. And then what happened is he would use Christians, and he would dip them in wax and tie them to a tree and light them on fire for his entertainment. So these Christians were in a very bad place. You can understand why they were full of fear. Jesus never promised us that we would have all the money that we need. Jesus never promised that it would never rain on you while you're on vacation. He never promised you that your refrigerator would not break down like ours did a couple weeks ago. He never promised you or me that your heart would not be broken. Here's one thing that he does promise. If you're a faithful follower of Christ, if you're set apart and if you're different, Jesus promised this. And this world is going to hate you, and you will be persecuted. With that, welcome to the quest. We're glad all of you are here. Yeah. Today we're looking at something that, you know, may not be a popular subject, but it's called being, God wants us to have a different perspective in persecution. Now, persecution is one of those topics that we don't really like, but it's important that we look at it. Let me read you what Jesus said first, then we'll dive into the book of 1 Peter. But Jesus said this, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated Jesus first. He goes on to say, "If they persecuted me," which, if you know the story, they did, right? He died on the cross. He was persecuted. "If they persecuted me," he says, "they will persecute you also." What I hope that we understand today is that persecution is a very real reality in our world. In fact, many people feel that Christians are persecuted more in this time in history than ever before. It's hard to believe. If you know anything about history and you think about the different wars and that went on and the persecutions, even if you look at, if you ever read a book like called Fox's Book of Martyrs, anybody ever read that? That's like a real terrible book. But it's one of those books where it just talks about how all these Christians die. And you know what? If you read those kind of things, and then to say, wow, to think that more persecution is going on now than ever before, that's kind of hard to believe. But here's the thing. On average month, 322 Christians are killed in our world today, in an average month. In an average month, 214 Christian churches are either destroyed or there's property damage attached to them being a Christian-based church. In an average month, 772 acts of violence happen to people due to their faith in Christ. That would be rape, beatings, tortures, and imprisonment. So when you start thinking about that, this is an average month. This kind of stuff happens that we're really not aware of, to say the least. I mean, we don't know that this is going on. In some parts of the world, you will lose your life for following Christ. Other parts of the world, you'll lose your family. Some parts of the world, you'll lose a job. I think here in America, you might lose some friends on Facebook. That's about it. But it's still persecution. Peter has a lot to say about this subject. And I don't want this should not frighten you. I'm hoping that what happens out of this talk is that you're inspired to have a greater connection with the one who gives you life, the one who gives you hope, the one who fills you with peace, the one who makes you different, that you and I would have such a great connection that it does not matter what's going on around us. And I think that's what happens. Sometimes in our world, we're so enamored by what's going on around us that we fail to keep focused on what's important and who's important. So let's look at 1 Peter 4, verse 12. He says this, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to." Don't be astounded. Don't be surprised or shocked that you're going through this stuff that you're going through. That's his message to these hurting, fearful Christians. He's basically saying, if you're living a faithful life following Jesus, don't be surprised at the opposition that comes your way. And that is a message that all of us need to hear. Some of you might say, "Dave, I don't know. I don't get any persecution." And I get that. And I want to start there, okay? So just bear with me for just a moment. Let's just say we're playing football. Since it's football season, I could say soccer, but I don't know anything about soccer, and I wouldn't. But I like football. So let's say we're playing football, and I'm playing football against you personally, okay? Or you're the opponent, and I'm on the other team. Now, let's say that you're out on the field, the game is going on, and I'm sitting on the bench, I'm flipping my water bottle, mindlessly watching this water bottle, I'm on my iPhone taking selfies, playing games, I am totally disconnected from the football game that's going on around me. As my opponent, do you have any sense of, do I worry you as an opponent while I'm on the bench flipping my water bottle? Are you concerned about me? Am I a threat? No, I'm not. Now, let's say that I was totally focused, I was totally engaged in the game. I'm out on the field now as your opponent. I'm about to score, and I'm psyched up, and I'm facing you head on. Now am I a concern? Now am I a threat? Absolutely, because I'm totally engaged in the game. And I think that's exactly what happens in a spiritual sense with many of us. We wonder why there's no persecution. It's because we're really not a threat. I mean, our prayer life, minimal at best, maybe. I do everything that the world does. I mean, my life really doesn't look any different than the world. You know, I pray basically for my meals. You know, that's about it. Or maybe, you know what, I don't give intentionally. You know, I might tip God here and there, but I'm not giving to invest in God's kingdom. I'm not giving really strategically to say, you know what, I want to see God's kingdom succeed. I want to see God's kingdom move, and I'm going to invest in it. I don't give like that. I just kind of tip God. Or maybe, you know, I've got talents and gifts and things like that, but I'm not really using them. I don't have time, Dave. You don't understand. I don't have time. I'm busy. I've got a lot of things going. In a spiritual sense, guys, let's be real. This is rubber meets the road. You're not a threat. There's no persecution that's going to be directed it our way if we are not engaged with the enemy. If we're not engaged with what is going on spiritually, we have a real enemy, and if he's not threatened, he's not going to bother us. He has no desire to bother us. See, maybe you're not even taking steps of faith. There's no threat in that. Here's the deal. You can write this in your notes. When you get in the game, the enemy will take notice. When you get in the game, the enemy actually takes notice, because now you're a threat. Now you are engaged in countering his agenda. I want you to imagine you're a soldier and you sign up and you go to, you know, they send you off to war. They put you on the front lines, and all of a sudden it hits you. They're firing real bullets at you. Your life is being threatened. You turn around, you run to your commander. You say, listen, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they're actually shooting real bullets. They're trying to hurt me. Whoever's in charge is going to say, do you know what you signed up for? You signed up for the battle. This is what happens in a battle. And here's what I think we miss as Christians. Christianity is not a playground, it's a battleground. We have a very real enemy, and this enemy that we have is playing for keeps. The enemy really wants to take you out. He wants to bring discouragement so bad into your life that you want nothing to do with God. He wants to fill your mind with so much doubt that God has absolutely no credibility. He wants to bring hurt into your life so that he can say, do you see what you got? This is what happens. People walk away from God because they buy into these lies. Christianity is not a playground, it's a battleground. I want to read this. It's out of 1 Peter 5:8, where Peter says this, stay alert, watch out, for your great enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He doesn't just want to come up and, I mean, he's a very real enemy that really wants to destroy our lives. And we've got to understand that. We've got to take that seriously. If you're engaged in a battle, you're going to face opposition. Now, opposition looks a couple of different ways. First of all, there are internal struggles to opposition. And I mentioned this. But that's where the enemy starts throwing discouragement your way. You find yourself more and more discouraged. Or maybe there's doubt, or maybe it's fear. But these kind of internal emotions that we start dealing with, and what they do is they become hurdles that really keep us away from God. Internal struggles. Another opposition that we do face is external hostility, and that is when you do actually receive persecution from other people. Maybe it's for saying the truth. Maybe it's because you are Christian. I know that I didn't say this in the first gathering, but both of my boys, they've been unfriended by their friends from school, some of them, because they know that they're Christians. That it's our world. That can bug you, or you can understand it's a part of life. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you go through. You're in the game. You're on the front lines. You're making a difference. The enemy is taking notice. And I think that if Peter were writing this letter today, he might say something like this. To those of you in the Middle East, don't be surprised if some of your friends are beheaded, because that's what's going on. I think he might say to people in Indonesia, hey, don't be surprised if your faith in Jesus causes your family to disown you. To the people in Sri Lanka, he would say, don't be surprised at the daily death threats that you receive. It's all a part of what we signed up for. If you think about that, here in America, we really don't have much persecution. I'm not saying we want it, right? Nobody's signing up and saying, hey, give me more persecution. That's what I want. But I am telling you, persecution comes when you're engaged in what God is doing and you're a threat to the enemy. So if there is no persecution, guess what? You're not a threat. Now, I would say this. What Peter might be saying to the young girl who doesn't get asked out on the second date is something like this. Don't be surprised that you don't get asked out on the second date because of your stance on purity. Because you won't put out, don't be surprised that you don't get a second date. You know, it's that kind of thing. But in our culture, what you find is in the church, girls are putting out. So they get the second date. There's not yet, right? I mean, I'm just being real. We're not much different than the world, which means we're not going to have any persecution. It's when you look different, it's when you not so much look different, but you act different, that persecution kind of naturally comes. Don't be surprised if your friends on Facebook might unfriend you. It's just natural. He says this, instead be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. In other words, it's like this. You want great joy of what is coming? Understand this, you've got to be a partner. That's why I was saying earlier, I don't think that people are really excited about Jesus' return because they're so busy making everything comfortable here in this world. It's when things are uncomfortable and when we have to go through persecutions and you have to go through difficult times that you realize, man, this is not my home. I can't wait till Jesus comes back. But when we're so focused on making everything great, fitting in all that hunky-dory life, Jesus can take his time. Persecution reminds us this world's not our home. It makes us look forward to Jesus coming back. And in our world, we're so focused on culture and pleasure and ease. Our prayers even reflect it. You might find this to be true even of your life. You know that your prayer life is basically this. God, protect me today. God, help me today. God, keep me safe. God, watch over me. Everything is about making us safe and protected and comfortable. And I just want to be happy, God. Just make me happy. And we don't realize that we're so focused on something we'll never have. We're asking God to make us safe and to make this life just great. And God's saying, you missed it. This world's not your home. I've got something far better for you. Keep focused on the agenda. That's what God's saying. We tend to develop a path of least resistance. And here's how it might play out. You know, we talked last week about respecting those that are in authority. That causes us, in our world today, if you respect authority, boy, you're going to be different, right? You're going to be different. Not because you agree with them, not because they share the same values, but because of their position, God tells us we're supposed to honor the people that are in authority. We're supposed to respect them because he put them in that place of authority over us, and it's for our good. So now when I choose to respect somebody, that means I'm not going to speak bad about them. I refuse to speak bad. That is going to set you apart. That's going to make you different. But in our world today, what tends to happen is somebody may not like the president and they're telling a joke or they're saying something. We don't engage in the conversation. We just kind of laugh along. Maybe somebody tells a racist joke. We don't have the courage to say that's wrong. We don't be labeled as that guy or that girl. So we just kind of laugh and go along with it. Or maybe somebody tells a sexist joke, and it's the same thing. You know, I don't want to be that guy, so I'll just keep my mouth shut, and I go along. And when I go along, when I laugh, I'm no different. See, as Christians, we have to know that we're going to be put in situations that are going to force us to be different and to act different. I want to show you a couple of cycles, just really quick, if I can. First of all, the one on your left, on your notes. It's about when we pursue comfort, here's what happens. First thing we do is we tend to avoid opposition at all costs. We avoid any kind of opposition. We just want to fit in. We want to blend in. But what happens over time is when you fit in and you blend in over time, your faith weakens. And you become less and less, you have less strength spiritually. And as your faith weakens over a period of time, what you'll find out is your life is empty. It really has no meaning. You have no strength spiritually, so you feel like Jesus is a million miles away. You feel like, man, you know what? I mean, Jesus used to be like so close, and now I don't even know if he hears me anymore. And you're just so disconnected, and life seems so empty. And so you go, man, there has to be some purpose to life. Jesus feels a million miles away, so you know what? I guess I'm just going to pursue comfort. And that's kind of the cycle. Now, you can live differently, but it's going to cost you, and it's going to cause you to live differently as well. And that is this. When you live boldly, you choose to face opposition. You don't avoid it. Now you face the opposition, knowing that the opposition is an opportunity. You face the opposition with faith and with love. You face opposition with God. So in other words, somebody says something, it's not like you're trying to start an argument. You just say, look, you know what? I choose not to do that. Let me give you an example. Just keep this slide up, guys. Let me give you an example. I was in college, and a Christian college, studying for ministry, and I don't know if maybe you're not aware that this kind of stuff happens, but a lot of my friends are going out smoking weed and stuff. This was before it was medical stuff, and this is way, way before it's legal. So all my friends, they're going out smoking weed and everything, and they're like, come on, Dave, you know, let's go. I'm like, no, listen, I don't do that. Oh, come on, Dave, you know. I said, listen, seriously, I'm not trying to tell you guys that what you should or shouldn't do. I'm just telling you, I don't do it. I'm not going to get involved in that. And I told him, I used to really be involved in that, and God touched me, and God saved me, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. I said, but you guys go do what you want. It wasn't till years later that I had one of these friends call me and tell me, Dave, you will never understand how your stance brought conviction into my life. Your stance, and you weren't angry about it or anything, but your stance just really spoke to me. It made me want to change my life. See, I'm not talking about engaging in an argument. I'm not talking about being hurtful or hateful. I'm talking about with love and with patience, with faith, that we face the opposition that comes our way because it makes us partners with Christ. And when we face opposition, here's what's always going to happen. Your faith is going to get strengthened. Your faith is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You're going to feel like Jesus is like, boom, right next to you. You're going to feel like there's absolutely nothing I can't do because God's with me. God's word's going to come alive inside of you. You're going to feel like, man, I feel like I really am a partner with Christ. You ended up being closer to Christ. That's the byproduct. And then because of your closeness to Christ, the cycle just continues. You end up living boldly. You end up loving the opportunities that God brings. You're not shy. Listen, you're not trying to start the argument. Remember, you're just confident to face the opposition with love and with faith. Persecution makes us partners with Christ. That's something we've got to understand. And this is probably my favorite verse in the book. 1 Peter 4:19, he says this. So if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. This is a great principle in all of life, but especially in persecution, and that's this. Do what is right and trust God with the results. We tend to look at the results that we want, and then we govern our choices based on what we want to do. Whether it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, right? Because you can tell a white lie if it protects you, and God will understand. You can do those kind of things, but you know what? Listen, you do what's right, what honors God, and trust God with the results. That means at work, with your family, at school, with your finances, with your peers, with your friends. You don't cut corners. You don't seek to just fit in. You do what is right and allow God His control over the results. We don't want to shy away. We want to live in obedience to God's word, to live and love like God calls us to. People will say to me, Dave, are you concerned or scared because of the way the world's going and what's going on? And all you have to do is watch the news. North Korea, Iran, nuclear wars, things like that, the threats. People say, are you scared about that? Are you nervous? And I'm like, absolutely not. I'm really not. And I'll tell you why. Because persecution never weakens the church. It strengthens it. Persecution never weakens our faith. It strengthens it. You remember after 9/11, the churches were never as full as they were after 9/11. Because when we're faced with uncertainty, God brings us to the end of ourselves where we're looking for His strength. Don't worry when you're persecuted. Worry when you're not. Put yourself out there. That's when you're going to experience God. You may know this verse, but never have realized the context of it. And I just want to read. It says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. And then He says this, give all of your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Remember, He's talking to these persecuted Christians. They're fearful. And Peter's saying, look, take all of those worries and all those cares that you have and cast them to God. And that is a fisherman's term in the Greek. And that's where you take a net and you cast it as hard as you can. You cast it away from you. That's how we're supposed to take our anxieties and our cares, and we're to throw them to God, away from us. Whatever you're worried about, give it to God. You and I will be persecuted at some point, in some way. But I want you to listen to this. Last verse. He says, so after you've suffered a little while, He, God, will restore you, support you, strengthen you, and He will place you on a firm foundation. You need strength in your life? God is the one who's going to bring the strength. Keep your attention and your focus on God. And let God bring the strength that you need, for the courage that you need to face the persecution and the trials that all of us will face. Maybe you're here and you don't have a relationship with God, you know? So really, persecution's not really that much of an issue in your life, but you realize out of the cycles that life becomes empty. And maybe you're looking and saying, I need something of substance in my life. Man, I would encourage you to begin a relationship with Jesus, because that's what you were created for. And you can start that relationship today. As we say every week, there is no magic fairy dust we sprinkle on a person, they become a Christ follower. There is no magic words that you say. It's out of your conversation with God where you say, God, I'm tired of being the one that's in control of my life, and I want you to be in control of my life. I want a relationship with you. You have that honest conversation with God, and that's where it begins. Or maybe you're here today, and you just need to hear the words that your Creator loves you, and He's with you, and He's your protector. He will restore you, and maybe that you're going through persecution right now. And you just need to be reminded and need to reconnect with God's strength. Or maybe you've just fit in for so long that you're finding that you really don't stand out. In fact, people might be shocked if they even knew you were a Christ follower. I'd encourage you to maybe talk to God and let God know, God, I really understand that following you sets me apart. And I want to do that effectively, lovingly, and with faith. Let me pray with you. Father, we just come to you this morning with grateful hearts that you love us and that you care about us. Father, for those that are here that want to begin a relationship with you, I ask that you would, man, give them a fresh start. Allow them to experience your love in their lives. Give them a clean slate. All the, whatever it's been in their life in the past, Father, you wipe that away. They get a do-over, a mulligan. They start over. And Father, I just ask that you would fill their lives with purpose, that you would draw them close to you. Father, for the rest of us, that you would help us to live lives of love, lives of faith, regardless of what happens around us. Father, help us not to modify our actions based on what we think will happen to us, but help us just to do what is right and trust you with the results. And Father, your scripture tells us that you will restore and you will strengthen. And that's what we need. We need strength. We need the awareness that you're with us. We need the strength to be different in a world that really calls us to conform. So help us, I ask. Help each one of us in our unique areas of life. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.